Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I bring greetings from the saints at St. Paul Lutheran Church and St. John Lutheran Church in Wheeler, Diederich, Illinois. The text that we heard this morning dealt with how to speak. Speak so you can be heard. Speak the word so that not only are you heard, but you are also understood. Paul tells the church at Corinth to speak so that you can be heard. And his use of the musical instruments makes a lot of sense. It gives you a great point. Now, if the instrument can't play anything other than one note, what good is that instrument? And if you've ever listened to an orchestra warming up, you hear all of them playing 1,000 different notes. It's a cacophony of noise. But with that instrument making different notes, it creates a sound and you have music. Also, if you don't understand the language, there's no communication that takes place. So speak that you can be heard. Think about how much more important it is when you're preaching the life-giving gospel of Jesus Christ so that other people can hear it and come to faith. And if they can't understand you or you're speaking in a way that they can't understand, what's the point if you're not preaching Christ? So preaching is all about that, communicating the gospel, the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior to those who need it, because it's quite possibly someone's eternal life is depending upon your preaching, upon the Holy Spirit using those words. So when you speak to mankind, you speak the truth of God's word. Tell man of his sin and the end results of sin. Preach the word in season and out of season. And when you preach that word of God, especially you becoming pastors, sinful man's not going to want to hear it. Sinful man does not want to hear the condemnation against sin, convicting of sin. Your congregation doesn't want to hear it any more than you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear that it is wrong to go through the bookstore and covet all of those books, seminarians, and wish that they were on your shelf. I remember I used to do that all the time. We don't want to hear how sin is wrong. Man wants freedom from God. God, turn your back so that I can sin, and then maybe later I'll find you again. Something we also do ourselves. Man wants freedom from God, but it's funny, there is no freedom outside of Christ. There is no freedom outside of God. There is only slavery to sin, death, and damnation. Satan's wicked web covering us. So when we preach the freedom that comes in Jesus Christ. And when we preach the freedom in Jesus Christ, we have to remember, all of us here today, that that freedom is yours also. Pastors can preach the gospel, but they don't include themselves, that it's for them as well. Preach Christ and Him crucified. Preach Jesus bringing repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Not only for your congregation, not only for you, the members of this campus, but also for yourself. Preaching the repentance and for the forgiveness of sins is preaching saying no to temptation, something we do every day. We fight temptation, fight Satan's attacks. And we pray for the Holy Spirit's indwelling in us so that we can turn our back on Satan, sin, and this world. The only reason I'm able to repent, desire to repent, even think about repenting, is because the Holy Spirit is in me. Jesus Christ has worked something in me through that preached word so that I can turn from my sin. So you preach the word. The wages of sin is death. But you don't stop there. You preach the gift of eternal life is in Jesus Christ. We know that God hates sin. Your sin, my sin, everyone's sin. But you preach a Savior. who took that sin upon himself and gave up his life. And when you preach the word in your congregations, you preach the word, don't justify sin, don't ignore sin, don't excuse sin. Instead, confess it to a merciful God. Because there is no way to recover from sin, no way to buy your freedom. You cannot pray enough, cannot do enough, you can't do anything. You are a beggar who must run to a gracious God in Jesus Christ. So preach the suffering servant who took the sin of the world on his shoulders. Preach the crucified Christ. Preach a resurrected and victorious Christ. You preach a God who is gracious. Show them a God who is gracious. Not to Christ, didn't give Jesus any mercy. He endured the full weight of God's anger and wrath against sin. But you show them a God who is merciful to you. Whether it's in a counseling session at the hospital, whether it is with a youth, whatever aspect of ministry you are about to embark in, you show them a loving and a gracious God, and you always point to the cross and the empty tomb. You show them Jesus, who even after his resurrection still had the nail prints in his hands and feet that the disciples saw and those who visited with him for those 40 days. You tell them to run to a gracious God who gives up his son, a God who sees you in the eyes of Jesus at the cross and loves you in spite of your sin, in spite of what you do wrong, will do wrong, a God who is gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. That is the God you preach. That is the God you show to people in your vocation as pastor, professor, deaconess, whatever it may be. You show them Christ and him crucified because he's still there with his outstretched arms calling you to himself. You show them a gracious God. Many of you will have the opportunity to proclaim that gospel of a crucified, risen Lord in the Christian congregations where God meets us in the sacred space. To hear that word and receive the forgiveness, to repent of our sins, and to hear the words of God as a called and ordained servant of the word, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. To hear the absolution that your soul and the souls of everyone around you needs to hear. Now, certainly we could preach the gospel anywhere. In a park, under the stars, out of doors, like my adoptive congregation in Latvia preaches the gospel in the bombed-out church foundation from the Soviet times. Certainly, the gospel can be preached anywhere to anyone. But the gospel traditionally is preached in the sanctuaries of our synod, in that sacred space where God meets us, to spend time with you and me. And we listen to that word of God and we respond in faith. And maybe the laborers for Christ have an opportunity for you. Would you like to build one sanctuary at a time? One education wing at a time in God's kingdom? Would you like to be a part of ministry that's so different than what you're doing now? Building that pulpit so that someone may preach that word. Being a part of a congregation for a summer. If so, see me in the commons. Nails, student laborers for Christ. Become a valuable part. To not only you who will be preaching that gospel, but also building a church so that someone else can preach the gospel. To share a crucified and risen Lord, a God who is gracious and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in love. Paul says, preach so you can be heard. Show Jesus to the people you are sent. Show them forgiveness. Show them mercy.
show them Christ. So we preach a crucified Christ. We preach a risen Christ. We preach a loving and gracious God who calls us to repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We preach a victorious Christ because our eternity depends upon that gospel message. And quite frankly, so does someone else's eternity. Because Christ has already come to rescue us. God grant success for Jesus' sake. Amen.